Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Dorney's Vinyl. This is episode number 23 of season 6, so if you're returning to this podcast, thank you guys so much for listening to, 23 episodes in season 6. And, you look at 40 episodes per, 40 episodes the past couple seasons, I feel like I'm closing in on podcast number 200. I'll have to go look at that. But if you're new to this podcast, if this is the first podcast you're listening to, I want to thank you just as much as everybody else. This is a weekly podcast, so every odd-numbered podcast such as this is an album review. 2 weeks ago, I did an album review of The Who's Tommy. And then every even-numbered podcast is what I call an EP extra podcast. Half of those are games guest-starring my wife. So last week, we played a game of Scattergories. And the other half of those are little tidbits of information. So a few weeks ago, the tidbit of information I looked at, unfortunately... the people that we that died in 2023, some of the more popular, I don't want to say popular, more famous musicians that I knew more of in 2023. There was too many, though, to be able to go through all of them. But this is episode 23. Like I said, this is an album review. I will be going through the Moody Blues album Days of Future Past. So how I do my album reviews, I talk about the artist, the album, the personnel, the songs, take a short little break, and come back with my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So I'll just get right into the Moody Blues. So they formed in 1964 in Birmingham, England. They were active from 1964 to 1974, and then from 1977 to 2018. The initial members of the band include Graham Edge, Denny Lane, Mike Pinder, Ray Thomas, and Clint Warwick. They have sold over 70 million records worldwide, and were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2018. They have released 16 studio albums and 36 singles. Of their albums in the US charts, they had 12 top 40s, 6 top 10s, and 2 number 1s. And in the UK, 12 top 40, 8 top 10s, and 3 number 1 albums. And then of their 36 singles in the US Hot 100, 13 top 40s and 3 top 10 singles. And in the UK singles chart, 10 top 40s, 3 top 10s, and 1 number 1. Moving on into the album now, Days of Future Past. It's released as the second album by the Moody Blues, Moody Blues' second studio album. So the band started out as an R&B group, achieving commercial success with their first album and their first single. However, in late 1966, they hit financial difficulties and personnel changes, with new member Justin Hayward saying, quote, "We had no money, nothing," end quote. What a quote. The band's record label, Decca, was experimenting with stereophonic sound for classical recordings, and they were hoping to be able to use it for the pop market. So you know how you hear mono sound and stereo sound? This is when they were experimenting with stereo. So Decca wanted to interweave classical recordings with the band's interpretation of the same music. Instead, the band decided to create an album based on an original stage show that they were working on and mix in classical arrangements of the classical songs. Keyboardist Mike Pinder purchased a Mellotron, and he wrote the song that would be the starting point for the album, a concept piece about the day in the life of the everyday man. The band did not play any music for the Decca executives until they were completely finished. And when it was first played, Decca was disappointed with the result, as it was not what they were expecting. Walt McGuire, who represented Decca's North American branch, London Records, thought it would be a strong seller in the U.S., and he agreed to release the album as it was recorded. The album was released on November 10th, 1967 in the U.K. and March 1968 in the U.S., and it peaked at number 3 in the U.S. and number 27 in the U.K. Reviews of the album are pretty positive. One of the only really mixed reviews was by Jim Miller of Rolling Stone in 1968, who wrote, quote, "The whole execution of the album is so perverse that the only real surprise is the discovery that between the movie soundtrack slush, there is some quite palatable rock which makes no compromises, even in the direction of orchestral accompaniment," end quote. Bruce Eder of AllMusic rated it 4.5 out of 5 stars. He wrote retrospectively, quote, "What surprises first-time listeners, and delighted them at the time, is the degree to which the group shares the spotlight with the London Festival Orchestra, without compromising their sound or getting lost in the lush mix of sounds. That's mostly because they came to this album with the strongest, most cohesive body of songs in their history, end quote. And other reviews of the album included, or ratings of the album, include The Music Box, rating it 5 out of 5 stars, Pop Matters, rating it a 9 out of 10, and Rolling Stone going on to rate it favorable in 2007. And the album certified platinum in the U.S. with 1 million copies sold. So now the personnel on the album. So the band The Moody Blues, it features Justin Hayward on acoustic and electric guitars, piano, sitar, and vocals. John Lodge on bass guitar and vocals. Mike Pinder on the mellotron, piano, tambora, gong, and vocals. Ray Thomas playing flutes, percussion, piano, and vocals. That's such a wide range of instruments. Flute to percussion to piano. And then Graham Edge on drums, percussion, and vocals. The London Festival Orchestra also is appearing on the album, and it was conducted by Peter Knight, who did the conducting and the arrangements. And the album was produced by Tony Clark and Michael Dacry Barkley. Alright, next up we got the track listing. So I will say, the first four tracks are very simple. Tracks 5, 6, and 7 are, in my opinion, are very confusing. That's side 2. But track 1, it's The Day Begins. It was written by Peter Knight and Graham Edge, and the lead vocals were done by Mike Pinder. Track 2 is Dawn, Dawn is a Feeling. It was written by Pinder, with lead vocals by Justin Hayward and Pinder. Track 3 is The Morning, Another Morning, which was written by Ray Thomas, and the lead vocals were also by Thomas. Track 4 is Lunch Break, Peak Hour, which was written by John Lodge, and lead vocals by Lodge. Alright, here's where it's going to possibly get confusing. Track 5 is The Afternoon. It was written by Hayward and Lodge, with lead vocals by Hayward and Lodge. And the track is actually broken into two parts, quite frankly. I think it should be two separate songs, but it's two parts. So part one is Forever Afternoon, Tuesday. This song was also referred to as Tuesday Afternoon. This part was released as the second single off the album, peaking at number 24 in the U.S. So Hayward said that he wrote the song on a Tuesday afternoon in Lipiat Park, which is where Hayward's mom would take him and his brother when they were growing up. He said that he wrote the song, quote, with guitar and joint in hand, end quote. AllMusic critic Richie Unterberger described the lyrics as, quote, of a youthful, contemplative sort coming to a philosophical realization that helps him get that much closer to the meaning of life, end quote. And Cashbox Magazine's review of the song read, quote, stunning teen-aimed ballad picks up rhythmic punch in a development that winds up a throbbing with top 40 appeal, end quote. And classic rock history critic Brian Katchajian rated it as the Moody Blues' greatest song. And then part two of track five is Evening, Time to Get Away. Track six, then, is Evening, which was written by Pinder and Thomas, lead vocals by Pinder and Thomas, also broken into two parts, part one being the sunset, and part two being twilight time. Track seven, then, the last track, is The Night. It was written by Hayward, Edge, and Knight, lead vocals by Hayward and Pinder. This song also has two parts. So part one is Nights in White Satin. This part, just this part, was released as the first single off of the album. It peaked at number 103 in the US and number 19 in the UK in 1968. It then re-entered the charts in 1972, where it peaked at number 2 in the US and number 9 in the UK. Hayward wrote the song when he was 19, and he titled it after a girlfriend who gave him a gift of satin bedsheets. About this song, Hayward said, quote, it was just another song I was writing, and I thought it was very powerful. It was a very personal song, and every note, every word in it means something to me, and I found that a lot of other people have felt that very same way about it, end quote. And Cashbox Magazine's review reads, quote, intense mood of the funk orchestration serves up an atmosphere that penetrates to the very core of this depressed love ballad. Terrific instrumental break and a searing vocal make this side a powerhouse that should hit hard, sending the Moody Blues high on the bestseller charts. One of the finest efforts from the group in a long while, end quote. And then part two of track seven is Late Lament, Resolvement. That is the conclusion of this informational half of the podcast. I will take a short little intermission. When I come back, I'll give you guys my song ranking, song opinions, and album score. Stay tuned for that. Coming up. Alrighty, I'm back after my short little intermission there, or that short little intermission there. And I will give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So if you're new, how I do this part of the podcast is I listen to the album from start to finish. As the album is playing, I write notes for each of the songs. And then after the album is done, I rank all of the songs from, in this case, there's 7 tracks. There should be more, but whatever. 7 tracks to 7 to 1. And then I will go through and just share my 7 to 1 right now. So at number 7, I have The Day Begins. So this was the first song. I'm very excited for the album, how it started. It really reminded me of like an old-timey movie, you know, I guess this was 1968, so it reminded me of a movie that you would get in 1968 with how the orchestra sounded. There was a very interesting change of pace on this song, and the word that I used to describe this one, and I think I used it again at least one other time, maybe more, is this song sounded very twinkly. This, you know, definitely not your typical rock song. I don't know how Moody Blues was considered a rock band or classic rock band. I think we get to that a little bit later on. I was not expecting the song to be a monologue. I was fully expecting there to be singing. It was just a spoken monologue. If this is how the entire album is going to be, I might fall asleep. Luckily, it was not. My favorite lyrics, I think it's the stanza 2 for the monologue. Pinprick holes in a colorless sky, let insipid figures of light pass by. The mighty light of 10,000 suns challenges infinity and is soon gone. At number 6, I have Dawn. Dawn is a feeling. I don't really like it when I don't know where one song ends and then the next one begins, so I just kind of had to make assumptions of where it was on in between tracks 1 and 2. This song, finally, you know, it took 2 tracks, but we got into some really nice vocals. I will say, you know, as much as I like the orchestra from track 1, I like how this song goes a little bit more conventional with how they included the drums and the piano. It's kind of, you know, we're getting a little bit closer to classic rock. This song, the ending of the lyrics it's semi-eerie. I do like, though, how each of the songs is flowing into each other, and it's all one piece, but I'd just like to know where one song becomes the other. Between tracks 2 and 3, though, it's a lot more clear. I think between the rest of them, it's a lot more clear. My favorite lyrics for Dawn, Dawn is a feeling. You're here today, no future fears, this day will last 1,000 years if you want it to. At number 5, I have The Morning, Another Morning. So the beginning of this song, it reminded me of like an old Disney cartoon. I don't know which Disney cartoon I'm thinking of, but that's what it reminded me of. And again, twinkly was the best word that I could use to describe how, like, the sound that I was hearing and what it sounded like. I will say, though, this song very quickly became not as twinkly when the acoustic guitar was brought in. This song had a really fun sound to it. It definitely reminded me of the Beatles a little bit. I liked the sound of the vocals on the bridge, and it kind of sounded like a marching song, like in a cartoon, like when you know, I don't know, ants are marching. Definitely when the drum comes in at the very end, though, that part definitely added to the marching. My favorite lyrics were, "Yesterday's dreams are tomorrow's sighs. Watching children playing, they seem so wise." At number 4, I have Lunch Break, Peak Hour. This song had a very fast-paced introduction. I will say, I have been bopping my head along to all of these songs so far. So Moody Blues, they definitely did something right. They were definitely songs that I could just kind of like, I could just feel. Like, I enjoyed listening to this album. This song had a very Beatles-esque sounding vocal with how they were harmonizing with each other. This song and this whole album reminded me of, you know, 2 weeks ago, the podcast that I did, Tommy by The Who, just because they're both essentially concept albums. This song also had kind of like a beachy feel to it, almost like the Beach Boys kind of vibe to it. I am not 100% sure what the first instrumental on the instrumental was, but it was a really good instrumental, and then it definitely transitioned into an electric guitar instrumental. So it wasn't really a wow factor riff. It wasn't like a knock you out of your seat riff. And I wouldn't necessarily call it, it was not necessarily totally a music that counts riff. You know, if you're not familiar with what I mean by music that counts riff, I talk about it every single podcast. Long story short, it's just kind of a music that doesn't knock you out of your seat, but you just feel it. Instrumental. But the riff was working. It was a very fun drum to end side one. That rhymed. I when I wrote it out, I realized that it rhymed, and I laughed a little bit in my head. My favorite lyrics, minds are subject to what should be done. Problem solved, time cannot be won. 1 hour a day, 1 hour a night, sees crowds of people all in full flight. At number three, I have Evening. So this song had a very abrupt and loud orchestral introduction. Luckily, it only lasted for a few seconds because it kind of hurt my ear a little bit. I like the sound of the percussion on this song. That's a very Eastern Hemisphere sound. It was like, I didn't want to call it African. I didn't want to call it Asian. Kind of reminded me of like an Indian drum. I didn't know what it was, so just kind of an Eastern Hemisphere. I like the sound of the vocals on this one. It almost reminds me of like a more refined Steve Miller. I don't really like Steve Miller's vocals, so this one sounded like a better version of Steve Miller. This song is, it's just another one that, you know, I will say it for the next three songs, because they're all in side two. They could have easily split this song into two separate songs instead of meshing them together and putting them all both under, like, Evening. Like, split them up, make them two songs. I definitely like the second half or the second part of this song better. It just has a better instrumental, and I feel like the sound of the vocals matches what the lyrics are singing and talking about better. This song, I will say, the second part is also easier to bop to. The background vocals are also very noticeably good, and they just don't use their background vocals as effectively on other songs. They should. My favorite lyrics for this one, building castles in the air, whistling to the wind, as nature bows down her head, see what tomorrow brings. And number two, I have The Afternoon. I really like the acoustic guitar beginning to this song. So far this was track five. This was definitely, side two is definitely the better side. This was definitely, so as up to this point, the best song lyrically on the album so far. This was such an interesting, there was such an interesting transition about a minute and a half into the song. It kind of sounded like a country-ish piano. It reminded me of, you know, The Ballad of Billy the Kid by Billy Joel. Is it Billy the Kid? I think it's Billy the Kid. Of Billy the Kid, yeah. I wish I had a better ear for, like, what instruments are. I wanted to say that it was a trumpet, but whatever sound it was, I really liked that it was what it was bringing to this song. I like how each of the songs has, like, almost like an epiphany-sounding orchestra part in it. I didn't understand how the two parts of this song were connected. Like, Tuesday Afternoon is completely different from the second part of this song. They should have just made it two separate ones. I will say the second part, the only really good part was it that it had good eeriness. My favorite lyrics for this one, I'm looking at myself, reflections of my mind, it's just the kind of day to leave myself behind, so gently swaying through the fairyland of love, if you'll come with me and see the beauty of. And then at number one, The Night, quite frankly this whole part was carried by Knights in White Satin, but whatever. So, The Night. I feel like this, you know, this is the song that most people would know from the album. Quite frankly, until just like a couple weeks ago, I didn't realize that Knights in White Satin was on this album. I don't know why, but I've heard Knights in White Satin all the time. I didn't realize that it was on this album. Very good way to close the album, even though I know that the song has two parts. Like, I'm mostly talking about Knights in White Satin, unfortunately. This, definitely the best song on the album. I feel like it's the only one that hits on all three, like, parts that I go look at. Lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals. It also does, in my opinion, the best job of meshing with the orchestra, because I really like the flute solo that they use as the two-third instrumental. Even though that could, and that could be, was it Graham? Graham Edge that played? I feel like I don't know what his name is anymore. That's disappointing me. If he was the one that does the flute, like he did a good job. I also really like the percussion because it just sounds like the song is coming to a conclusion, and this album's coming into a conclusion. I will, you know, again, The Knight is carried by Knights in White Satin. I really dislike how there's a second part after Knights in White Satin. I like it even less that it's a monologue. But I get that. You started the album on a monologue, you want to end the album on a monologue. Great symmetry, I guess, whatever you want to call it. My favorite lyric for this one, Knights in White Satin, never reaching the end, letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before, just what the truth is, I can't say anymore. So that is my song opinions and my song rankings. I'm going to get into my album score now. So how I do this part of the podcast is I look at, I give it a score out of 10 based off of its lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals. So starting with the lyrics, I gave this one a 7.5 out of 10, pointing to The Day Begins, The Afternoon, and The Night as songs lyrically. Vocally, I also gave it a 7.5 out of 10, pointing to Dawn, The Morning, and Evening. And I think this is the first time that this has ever happened, where I've given it the same score on all lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals. 7.5 out of 10 for Moody Blues on instrumentals. The Day Begins, Lunch Break, and The Night are the ones that I pointed to. Those three categories will get multiplied by 2 when I go into the total score, and that's called my Dorney score. I then give it a score out of 10 based off of where it charted, where it peaked in the US and the UK. So in the US, it peaked at number 3, so that gets 9 points. In the UK, it peaked at number 27, so that is unfortunately only 4 points. I also give it a score out of 10 based off of where its singles charted in the US. So it had a number 24 single, which earned 1 point. And then for Knights in White Satin, I gave it its peaking position at number 2. So I gave it 4 points for that, so it got a total of 5 points for singles. And then the last category that I rank it on out of 10 is I give it a score based off of its cover. Very good, you know, a very interesting cover, 9 out of 10 points. So the total score that the Moody Blues Days of Future Past earned was a 72 out of 100. We will have to see in the finale how that score compares to the rest of them. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's episode. Thanks for making it to the end. Next week is going to be an EP extra podcast. It's going to be a segment of On This Date, in which I look at the Billboard 200 and the Billboard Hot 100 on a certain date in, you know, the time period that I am doing these podcasts, which is like late 60s to early 90s. The specific date I'm looking at, February 12th, 1977, since the next podcast is going to be released on February 12th, 2024. So that's next week's podcast. If you're not already doing so, please go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl. I am in the midst of putting up polls and brackets for the albums that are going to have podcasts in season 7. So far, there are 3 albums that have been, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think 7 albums have been confirmed for season 7 so far. We still got 13 more to go, 10 more to be voted on by you. I get 3 wild cards as well. So please go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl. I also have used 33s and 45s for sale on my record store, eBay store, which is also Dorney's Vinyl. You can search that up. I got almost at 400 listings, which is both good in a way of I have so many albums to sell, and bad in the way of people aren't buying them as quick as I'm listing them. But that's okay, unless you guys want to help out with that. Other than that, I will see you guys next week with next week's podcast.